Thank you for one who always dreamed of being able to stand in front of people and play the trumpet, but who had a very unfulfilled dream. I appreciated that very much. Good morning. On this wonderful Mother's Day, as I share with you this morning, I do so not with the intent of preaching a sermon. You will not find 3 points to my message today. My intent is to share with you some thoughts that have been in my mind, especially this past week. And if I had my complete discretion, we would move this aside and we would sit around in a circle and we would talk together about the message, the remarks that I want to share with you today, those thoughts. So, if you will come with me then, so to speak, into my living room, so that we can talk together. And even though this service is so structured that it has traditionally been a monologue, if any of you want to share as we go along, feel free. I'm not bothered by some dialogue. At least one of you was at our annual shareholders meeting last Friday, and you know that there is some dialogue there. I have to respond to some questions from our shareholders. So I'm used to some dialogue. We want to talk about some principles of life, of living. Biblical principles, I believe, the ones that can be so shown to us many, many times by our mothers. So this day, as the world around us set aside a day to honor mothers, I would like to reflect with you and be somewhat personal, maybe very personal in my remarks, as I share with you some experiences in my life and with my mother. You see, today in our family, this is Mother's Day for Grandma Pollard and Grandma Weingarten, who is my wife's mother. And of course, my wife, who's the mother of our 4 children, and Julie, the mother of Heather, and Carrie, my daughter-in-law, the mother of Chad. Now, there's a tradition in our home, and that tradition is that on Mother's Day, Father gets up and makes breakfast. And that's the only day of the year that he does that. And I'm reminded every time I do it that I don't clean up and clean the dishes. Today we did that of sorts. Grandma's home at our house, still recovering. And Amy wasn't feeling too well. And I was thinking about what I was going to share with you this morning. So if you see some members of the Pollard family somewhat gaunt and hungry or taking more than one donut downstairs, you'll know the reason why. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31. As we think of our mothers and the example of their lives before us. And I want to start with verse 25 and then read to the end of the chapter. It's a great chapter, it's a good chapter to read the entire chapter. But I want to start as we share today from verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now, I'm biased, I know, but I think my mother's a wonderful person. And I had an experience a week ago Friday, May 1, that caused me to really reflect and kind of gel what I was going to share with you today. That had been a busy week for me, and I guess I can share that week after week, but it had been a busy week for me, and Judy and I had planned to spend Friday night up at Lake Geneva together as a time when we would be have a chance to be together. It was something that we try to do at least once a month. And I was coming in Friday afternoon and gotten in a little early in O'Hare Field, and we were going to leave together. And as some of you know, my mother has injured her knee and her leg, and she was recuperating during the week when I was running around the country. Judy was taking her to one doctor after another, seeking to make sure we found out what was wrong and what was necessary for the healing process. And things were going fine, and she was beginning to recuperate after some x-rays and so forth. So as Friday rolled around, she seemed fine, and Judy brought her back home, and she was resting, and so we took off Friday afternoon. Julie was to come in and share with her that night and make her meal. And so after about 9 o'clock, we called from the lake and said, "How's everything going?" And things weren't going too well. Mom was not feeling well. She was nauseous. She was sick, in addition to not having a well leg. So there was only one thing for us to do, and that was to come home. And that night, I spent serving and caring for my mother. And as I did, I was reminded of the many times she served and cared for me. And I want to share some of those experiences with you because I think they are examples of principles of life that we need to be reminded of from time to time. The first such experience was an experience that I had to be told about. I couldn't remember. And that was my birth. I was the last of three children. And my mother had a difficult birth with me. It had something to do with the size of my head, I was told. But not only was there an extreme amount of pain during my birth, but she almost lost her life. She was willing to give, even to risk her life, bring another life into the world. You know, pain is something that all of us have experienced and will experience in life. God has not called us to a life absent pain. And with pain is the evidence of life. I'm reminded of the story of Dr. Brand, one of the noted physicians who treated leprosy, a missionary physician in India. Dr. Brand had a practice. Once a month, take a scalding hot tub of water. He used to get into this tub of water and fill it up so that it covered all of his extremities to his neck. The reason? He had no other way to test whether there was life and feeling in all his extremities as he was treating these folks with leprosy. He had no other way to know whether he had contracted the disease without that experience. Pain, for him, was the evidence of life. And so too it is in our life. Whether that pain is emotional or physical, God allows us to have pain to remind us that our life is a life of faith, not necessarily a life of comfort. And pain often is a reminder that we are alive. The second experience I remember is when I was 7 years old. We had just finished dinner, and as it was a custom in our house, we often had visiting preachers for dinner. And after they left, I was concerned. I was disturbed as I thought over the conversation at the table, because I became aware that evening, very specifically and very distinctly, that I was lost, that I needed a Savior. And as I was troubled in my heart, my mother was there. Sensitive to know that I was concerned, sensitive to ask enough questions, and able and available to lead me to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Available. Able to know the Scriptures. Sensitive to her child, and then to lead her child to come to know the Lord. It's important, as we have a purpose in our life, you know, as we come in contact with people in whatever our walks may be sensitive to those people, to know where they are in relationship to their Lord, and to always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us. The third memory that evening was the memory of an accident I had on my bicycle. Now, for those of you that have grown up in the suburbs, you don't fully realize what it's like to travel in alleys. But growing up in the city of Chicago, there are two means of transportation. One is out in front of the street, and the other is in the back, in the alleys. And the alleys provided an excellent means of transportation for kids, especially on their bikes. They were gravel, and you could kick up a lot of stones, plus you could ride awful fast. And you usually didn't have to worry about much traffic. Well, one day, as I was speeding down an alley and coming to an intersection of another alley, there happened to be some traffic. Lo and behold, a car was coming down the alley. And it caused me to stop my bike rapidly, but I didn't stop. I went over the handlebars and kind of a spread eagle and slid along the top of the stones as I landed. Well, you can imagine I was a mess. And I was about 3 blocks away from home. And as I was walking home, crying and bleeding, I could think of only one thing, and that was my mother. I never really wondered about whether she would be there. I never really had any anxiousness about if she was there, whether she would have time to care for me. Those were all given. And sure enough, when I arrived, my mother was doing something else. She was entertaining. But everything stopped. And I was taken care of. Very gently, as she was picking the stones out of my forehead, dabbing me with this stuff that burned, and cleaning me up, she was available to care and comfort. How important it is for us, as we seek to serve our Lord, to be available to others in their time of need and to care and comfort. And then there was the flower incident, I refer to it. It was one of those times when I was doing something that I shouldn't have done. In fact, I was told not to do. I was playing baseball in our backyard with a group of my friends and our dog. And the inevitable happened. The ball went in the flower bed, and the flowers that my mother so nurtured and preserved were trampled. Now, there were a few that were not trampled. And to make things worse, I decided in my own mind that I had a quick solution. I would take the flowers that were not trampled and put them in a little bouquet. Those that were trampled, I would throw over the fence. And I put them in a bouquet and dutifully came into the house and presented them to my mother as a present that I had picked for her. Not only had I disobeyed her, but now I was deceitful in the process. Little did I realize that she was in the bedroom window watching it all. Now, you know, my mother was quick with her punishment, never waited long, and the punishment was meted out to me. But you know, the next morning, when I came down to breakfast, the breakfast was prepared just like it always was. My mother was there, and the flowers were on the kitchen table in a little glass. And I knew that even though I had been a very bad boy, that I was forgiven. Wonderful to be forgiven, isn't it? We have a wonderful Lord who has forgiven us. Forgiven us for the sins we have committed, even forgiven us for the sins that we have yet to commit. And two, as He's forgiven us, we must have a forgiving spirit with each other. The next memory was in high school. I was glad that we celebrated and congratulated our seniors here who are graduating from college. I had quite a stressful time at the time of graduating high school. You see, the spring fever had gotten into my blood, and I had been involved in some untimely pranks. And although I had received the detentions and the other restrictions because of these pranks, there were some in the school that I attended that felt that the punishment needed to be a little bit more, and that maybe I shouldn't be able to graduate, and that in fact my graduation needed to be postponed. Well, you can imagine there was some tension in our house, and it was at that point where I needed somebody in my court to defend me. And my wonderful mother, with all of her Scotch-Irish fervor, was there to defend me at a time when maybe the punishment really exceeded the crime. You know, as I was thinking about that, thinking about her eloquence and the way she advocated on my behalf, I was reminded, too, of the great defender we have. There are some things in life that we don't understand, that I don't understand at least, and I'm not sure I will ever be able to understand. It is true that in this world there are spirits, evil spirits. There is a devil. But we know that our Lord has conquered the evil, that He is a sovereign God, and that He stands in our defense and is a consistent defender of us. Then there was the experience one evening. My father had just passed away about 6 months earlier. I had finished my freshman year in college, and I had determined that college was not for me, that I was going to go and earn a living. And so I quit school, and I was holding down two jobs, both selling. And as I can imagine, at that point, my mother was very much concerned. And of course, I was old enough not to listen to her advice, to kind of do it on my own, and I didn't have a father who was there to give me any advice. And I came home late one night, and as I passed her bedroom, I heard her praying for me. Earnest pray and interceding for me. I'll never forget that night, because although she was saying to the Lord some of the same words she had said to me that I had ignored or didn't listen to, as she was praying that night and as I overheard her, the words had new meaning for me. We have a Savior who is a constant intercessor for us. And so too should we be praying and interceding for each other. And then there was the time when I became engaged and looking for marriage. I was young. 20 years old. As I indicated, I was the last child.